nice to be with you once again today. We have visitors with us, and we're glad to see you. Good to have the Ping family with us. Larry's preaching at Ellis this week. Hope that you're able to get down and hear him and support the good brother there. Appreciate Nicholas leading us in the reading of John 21, 15 through 17. You may have noticed that three times in that short reading, the words that are written on the board before you appear. When the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he said, "Thou knowest." While upon earth, Jesus was fully God and fully man. To help us appreciate that he was not an ordinary man like you and me, just appreciate that he had knowledge that an ordinary man wouldn't have. In the book of John, chapter 16 and in verse 30, the book says, "Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." And so the deity of Christ is shown by what he knew. One of the outstanding features of God is that he is omniscient. That is, he is all-knowing. When Job answered the Lord in Job 42 and verse 2, he said, "I know." Makes for a good study, by the way. Things Job knew. "I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." According to Matthew 10 and verse 30, "Even the very heads, the hairs of your head, are numbered." I'd like to call to your attention some lessons this afternoon from this expression, "Thou knowest." First, it needs to be emphasized that thou knowest the hearts of all men. In the book of 1 Kings in chapter 8, as part of the prayer Solomon uttered to God at the dedication of the temple, notice in verse 39 of 1 Kings 8, he said, "Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart," what's the next two words? "Thou knowest. For thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men." As you make your study of this expression, "thou knowest," and appreciate the fact that God is all-knowing, you have to appreciate the fact that he knows the hearts of all men. That means he knows your heart. He knows my heart today. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, when Samuel thought the Lord's anointed was before him, the Lord said no. He said, "The Lord doesn't see as man seeth." The fact that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16, 7. In 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 9, it is recorded, "The Lord searcheth all hearts." Did you know he searches your heart and he searches mine? You ever wonder what he finds when he does a heart search on us? In Luke 16 and verse 15, Jesus said, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts." The psalmist welcomed the Lord's search of his heart. In Psalm 139, I just wonder if we would say what he said, as recorded in verse 23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts." Has it occurred to you that the Lord knows the hearts of all men? But secondly, as we entertain this expression, "thou knowest," I take us to Psalm 40 this time. In Psalm 40, and in verses 9 and 10, hear the psalmist. "I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What's the point? Thou knowest, I have not refrained my lips. Now, there is a sense in which you and I need to be a lip-restraining or refraining people. There's a time to refrain your lips. That's like the book of Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. And God help us to know when that is, to have the wisdom to know the difference. But 1 Peter 3:10 talks about the refraining of lips. When Peter said, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. But sometimes we have refrained lips when our lips ought not be refrained. The psalmist said that his lips had not been refrained when it came to preaching righteousness. That is, he had not concealed the truth of God's loving kindness, but declared his faithfulness and his salvation. We've got some preachers today, unfortunately, whose lips are refrained, and that there are some things that are being concealed. They're not telling you. I preached not too long ago a sermon, some things most preachers won't tell you. You know why? Because their lips are refrained. They won't tell you what this book says about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, like we studied in our Bible class this morning. They won't tell you what this book says about the use of the name Reverend, because they wear that for themselves. Some won't tell you what this book says about being justified by faith only. That is not so, James 2:24, because their manual says it's a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. Sometimes it's not what's said, but it's what is left unsaid. Paul, when it came to his lips being refrained in that way, they were not. He had an open mouth. In Acts chapter 20, when he met with the Ephesian elders, he reminded them of his work among them. As recorded in Acts 20 and verse 20, he said, I kept back, what'd you keep back, Paul? Nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And so he could say in verse 26 and 27, I take you to record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Why? Because my lips aren't refrained. And thou knowest, God knows, whether my lips are refrained or not. If I've withheld truth that you need to know. That's like Paul could write and remind brethren of his work like he did the Thessalonians and say, God is my witness. Because he knows, doesn't he? He knows whether I preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And our lips must not be refrained when it comes to personal evangelism. Telling others about Jesus, like the woman of Samaria who went her way into the city and said, come, see a man, in John 4. Or Anna in Luke 2, who said of Jesus, he's our Redeemer. She spake of him to them that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem, Luke 2:39. What about Andrew? His lips weren't refrained when he brought his brother to Jesus. He said, we found the Messiah. Philip's weren't refrained. When in Acts 8 and 35, he opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Have my lips been refrained? Have your lips been refrained when it comes to the truth? Thou knowest, O God. God knows, doesn't he? The third area I want to explore with us this afternoon. Another statement of the psalmist, this time in Psalm 69:5. I wonder what he said. O God, thou knowest. What's God know? My foolishness and my sins are not hid from thee. Thou knowest my foolishness. You ever act foolishly? You remember one time Saul said, I have said, I played the fool. Guess who knew that? God did. The first transgression shows that God surely knows our foolishness and our sins are not hid from Him. You remember that situation when God said, of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. The woman saw a tree good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise. She ate, she gave to her husband, he ate. Did God know that? I wonder if He did. Maybe he's asleep that day. He didn't see it. Maybe he's on a long journey. Remember, that's what they said. As Elijah mocked the people of Baal, as they tried to call upon Baal. No, God wasn't asleep. He wasn't on a long journey. He's very much aware of that. Unlike the false gods that people have their allegiance unto. The book of Genesis chapter 3. They tried to hide themselves from the Lord in verse 8. And if you learn anything at all from this, you learn that you can't hide from God. He said, where art thou? Is that because he didn't know? He couldn't see them because they're hiding, right? No, he knew where they were. He wanted them to know they're standing before him. The Lord said, Adam, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And they started playing the blame game, right? The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Unto the woman, the devil made me do it. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. What happened? Their sin found them out, didn't it? So, if they couldn't get by with it then, what makes us think that we can sin and God not know about it today? Even though God knows our sins, He still demands that we confess those unto Him. John said in 1 John 1 and in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, your parents, your children, your husband, your wife, other people may not know it, they may not be aware of it, but thou knowest. Number 4. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. You're down sitting, I'm uprising. Guess who knows about that? God does. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Beginning at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest, there's our phrase. Thou knowest, well, you know, my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Did you know God knows when you're sitting down? And He knows when you're uprising. That's something, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that impress you with the fact that God knows everything about us? How many times have you sat down today or risen up? Probably don't know, do you? But no, but surely God does. The Lord said concerning the king of Assyria back in 2 Kings 19 and verse 27, I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in. In other words, I know where you live, I know when you're leaving, I know when you get back. I know everything about you. Thou knowest. Again from Psalm 139. Look at verse 5. Or verse 4 rather. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So that's point number 5. Thou knowest our every word. Our every word. Isn't that what he said? There is not a word in my tongue. Was that because he was mute? Because he couldn't speak, and so since he couldn't say anything, the Lord knew. No. Do you know every word you've uttered today? If somebody asked you, I want you to recall everything you've said today, and the day's not over yet. There's several hours left, if the Lord will, right? Tell me everything you said up to this point. You couldn't do it, could you? I couldn't probably either. But the Lord knows it. That's why I need to be careful what I say. Because at the judgment, we're going to give account for what we say. The Lord said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Matthew 12:36-37. Some people get this gadget in gear before they engage the brain. They just start rattling stuff off without even thinking. I need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. James talked about that, didn't he? James 1:19 and following. And so, you might think about that before you open your mouth. There is a silent listener to every conversation thou knowest. And then one other thing I want to talk about. From the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because he lamented the deplorable condition of the people of God. Listen to his words in Jeremiah 15:15. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Jeremiah recognized, thou knowest, that is God, my suffering. Thou knowest my suffering. You ever suffer? You can't live long in this world without experiencing some of that, can you? Because as Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. John 16:33. Suffering is as old as man, back in the garden. That's when it was introduced. When sin came, suffering came. It's not a pleasant thing, is it? You see, he's been persecuted. And that was a source of suffering. The Lord's people have always been persecuted. The Lord talked about the fact that they persecuted the prophets. Jeremiah is one of those. He experienced that. And he understood the Lord knew it. Early Christians experienced that in Acts 8:1, when at that time there was a great persecution against the church which is at Jerusalem, causing disciples to be dispersed. And these scattered saints didn't throw up their hands and quit. They went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:4. Paul informed Timothy that those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. So you can't live godly without experiencing some form of persecution at one time or another. There's a whole spectrum. You got ridicule on one hand all the way over to martyrdom. You may have been called a name or two. Thought strange. Somebody give you a cold shoulder. That's mild, really, in comparison to what Stephen went through when they stoned him. But here's a man who stood for the Lord and the Lord stood for him. He saw heaven open and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in what's known as the Beatitude section of the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I don't know of a better example of that than the apostles Peter and John, Acts 5:41-42. When they're beaten and commanded not to speak at all in the name of Jesus, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they are counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's Acts 5:40-41. One thing that ought to give us some comfort in our tribulation, regardless of what you're going through today, when you're down in the valley of suffering, it ought to help you a little bit to realize the Lord knows that. thou knowest. God knows. As Revelation 2 and verse 9 finds these words being addressed to the church in Smyrna, I know thy works and tribulation. I know your tribulation. God says, I know your tribulation. I know your suffering. I know what you're going through. And that ought to inspire us to endure unto the end. You see, the day of Christ can be for us a day of great triumph. As Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, talked about. In chapter 1, verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. And so which will it be for us, either a day of tragedy or triumph? Thou knowest. As Hebrews 4 and verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. A lot of good things to be learned, aren't there? From two words, thou knowest. Do you need to obey the gospel? God knows. You've heard the word of God. Do you believe it? Do you? With all your heart, are you willing to repent of your sins? Would you make some changes in your life? How about confessing your faith today? Would you have the courage to confess before men, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized? We'll be happy to do that for you. And you can go on your way rejoicing. Perhaps you've become a Christian, but you've not been faithful in your living. Are you aware God knows that? He knows. And so, we ought not try to hide it from anybody. Right? Just have the courage to say, I've sinned. And ask for prayers. Remember Simon the sorcerer after he was baptized? His heart was not right with God. That was made aware, wasn't it? God knew that. And he said, as he was told, repent and pray. Pray for me. We'll do that for you as well. If you need the prayers of the brethren of a righteous man, which avails much, we're here to pray with you and for you. So together we stand and sing. We invite you to come.